All right. Thank you, Sister Leah. That's a good special, a good message and song. Before we have our missionary speaker tonight, we're real blessed to have a man that's done the job. He's from the Philippines, and I'm going to let Scotty Drake give us a little more detail. When I was over there, Brother Ton had the chore of driving me around. And if you've been in Manila in the Philippines, if you think the traffic's bad in Haines City, you all see it over there. I think I told you, there's a fella passed us on a bicycle, and I wondered if we could trade him the car for the bicycle. He was making a lot better time than we were. But all joking aside, it's good to have Scotty Drake on his feet and able to be here tonight. I'm going to ask Scotty. Scotty goes back with Brother Ton, and I'm going to ask Scotty to come on up and introduce Brother Ton to us. And it's so good to see Scotty able to do it. Amen? Amen.
God bless you, Pastor. All right. God bless you. All right. Let me just say a couple of things about Dr. Edwin Ton. This college gave him a doctorate, I forget what year, several years ago. Pastor, he told me, he said, the last time I was over there, he said, I preached 7 times. I said, I got you beat. I preached 9. And would you believe, the last one I preached at was about midnight, and they had been singing about 3 hours waiting for me to get there. I said, you need to come to Florida and teach us how you do it. Well, I can see us sitting here till midnight, can't you? But anyway, let me just say a couple of things about Brother Ton. I told you about the way I went up in the mountains of Mexico. I went up in there and saw the Indians way back up in the mountains and the way they lived, and no gospel except a bilingual was going up preaching to those villages. And then I run into Brother Edwin Ton, went to the Philippines. Never forget, Brother Edwin, when I went, I preached for Brother Vincent. He had a strip mall, and there in the strip mall was a dirt floor, chickens and little chickens and goats running around. And I told him, I said, Vincent, you need to count them in Sunday school. But that's the way we count them sometimes here, isn't it? not this church, but I'm talking about Florida or America. But anyway, I'll never forget Brother Edwin. I was sitting with Jimmy Victorino was his name. And he leaned over to me and he said, you know, Edwin was up there preaching, and he said, if he'd quit giving his members away, starting new churches, he'd have 2,000 or 3,000 in church. And I like that. Amen. Taking his members and shooting them out and starting other churches. At the time I met him, he had started personally, out of his ministry, there had been 20 churches started. Today there's over 1,200 in the fellowship. Now that's what you call going to work. And they've had their little Bible schools all over the place. Now I just praise God for you, Brother Edwin. And I want you to come, brother. And if you've got anything else to say, I think you've got a little video that you want to show. And then you just preach. That he's one of the real great preachers I've ever heard. Come on, brother. You better shuck the corn, buddy. I've been bragging on you. All right.
I don't know who that guy is. Okay. Good evening, everyone. It's a bit nostalgic for me to stand here because 25 years ago, the first time we came over and touched base with you and presented our burden, our needs. You know, we were just small then. We were a little bit struggling as a group of preachers. But after 25 years, the sacrifices that you've done, that we have done, your prayers, your support, have given us a good platform to stand. And right now, I am just happy to tell you that we are doing the job, we're doing the work by the grace of God. And what the health ministry, Brother Scotty, and there are two people that have defined our direction. I would say Brother Scotty is one of them, and this church, because at the outset, this church and Brother Scott and the health ministry have been, you know, working in this area, and it has been a place where we have found care, encouragement, and inspiration. And I just want to be here tonight to be able to say Thank you, preacher, for this privilege. I did not expect this. But just want to say thank you so much for all of you guys for standing by our side. And I hope one day you'll be able to be there and see us. I will not drive for you anymore. I promise. And see how the Lord had really blessed us through your partnership. Thank you so much. But now, I come with a bigger burden, Brother Scotty, Brother Mickey, because the Lord has blessed the work of our hands. We have started churches, and now the Lord has given us a burden to also start our own Bible college campus. I think this is the single need that the independent Baptist churches and fellowships in the Philippines need. Normally, on a normal setting, the training of our men and women for the ministry are done in a local church. You know, it's very inadequate. It's not at par with the challenges of the time. So we are dreaming now to build one that we can go to the next level of providing our people a better training so that they can go and do better job, especially for the next generation. Let me just tell you that just 2 years ago, we tried to embark on this project. The Filipino churches contributed. We were able to pull our resources. We were able to raise $125,000 to be able to purchase, made a down payment for a five acre piece of land, preacher, in Silang, Cavite. Brother Scotty went there before. We tried to survey the place. And now we have the land, but we don't have the buildings yet. And so pray with us that one of these days, if this is the will of the Lord, we'd have this dream come to reality. And I believe that the independent Baptist churches, especially our group as well, would be able to see a place that would be a real place that we would be preparing the next crop of leaders for God's work. I would like to share the video, preacher, a 6-minute video of the design, the actual design of what we want to build. Please.
For many years, we have been fighting the good fight of faith. Despite trials and tribulations, we find ways to carry out the Great Commission. God's people to build his kingdom. And he has been faithfully blessing the work of our hands for his glory. The gospel has been growing bigger and broader. God is mightily enlarging our spiritual territory. We must make ready the upcoming army to continue wearing the good warfare of faith. We must prepare the land, till the soil, sow the seeds for the future harvests of the cause of Christ. This will require yet another big step of faith. But we are no strangers to the workings of the divine. God has steadily shown and demonstrated His great power to us. We are witnesses to the fulfillment of His promises. And so we answer to the burden of rallying more men and women to heed the mission field. We answer to the burden of equipping tomorrow's leaders to build strong and sound churches. We answer to the burden of handing down a legacy for the next generation who will respond to Jesus' call. We answer to the burden of reaching out to the regions beyond where the story has never been told. We are rising to the challenge of reaching greater heights for God. Envisioning the next level of training soldiers of the cross. Vision for eternity. For the redemption of our nation and the world.
Thank you for inspiring us to dream and dream big, preachers. God bless you and to this church. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. Let's all rise, please, as we look into the Word of God. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 6, please. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. As we read together, verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us by thy grace. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity accorded me to be able to say thank you to the people that you have used to pray for us, and challenge us, and inspire us. I pray that you would bless your words in the hearts of thy people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I would like to share a message entitled, I would borrow those two words within that verse, toward Jerusalem. The nation of Israel was taken from their homeland and they were brought to Babylon. As a punishment for their disobedience. Two things I would like to say right away, that this is a little bit of a reality check as we have our spiritual journey in this life. First, we don't enjoy the luxury of a home court advantage. Just like these people, they were taken to Babylon. This world is no friend of God and with God. Amen. This world would be full of hostility, animosity against the faith that we are standing for. Amen. This faith will always be like that. There will always be a clash, a constant clash of our convictions and principles. Because this world stands antithetical to the very principles that we embrace and espouse from God's word. We are in a battle zone. Literally, this world is a landmine, full of landmines. And one miscalculation, and we make that miscalculation and we'll be blown to smithereens. We've got to be always aware that we are in a battle zone. Don't expect this world to pat us on our back and say, good job, my friend. As a matter of fact, it's a bigger surprise when we feel very comfortable with this world. We cannot be comfortable with this world. There is not a place for comfort zone, because the devil is not taking any moment sitting down and to settle down, because his time is running short, and I believe he's going to use every moment to advance his agenda to destroy the kingdom of God. Right. We've got to understand this one. Second, just like the king of Babylon, he pictures, he symbolizes Satan. He would try to ensnare us, enslave us, so that we would be living for the world, so that we would be losing our sense of purpose, our sense of mission, and then we become lethargic, we become complacent, to the point that we will lose our vision, the very purpose why God saved us and called us to be an instrument for the redemption of this world. Yeah. Satan would try to come out and allure us with the glamour, with the trippings and the glitters of this world. And my friend, if we are not careful, we would be taking our eyes off, and with that, we'd be losing the very purpose why we are here tonight. Remember, Jeremiah said in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 54, my eyes affected my heart. Whatever we see, wherever we focus our sight, that would affect our emotions and our eyes. And Daniel, before they were even taken to Babylon, he preempted the possible conflict there. In chapter 1, verse number 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He knew that there will be a clash of culture, there will be a clash of principles, there will be a clash of worship. Therefore, before he even got into that very place, a very hostile territory, he made sure that he would have his conviction galvanized within his heart, so that when the heat of the conflict comes, he would be prepared to accept the challenge and confront the issues. If we will not be careful, let me tell you again, we might be a part of the statistics. Back home in the Philippines, the technological technology has really swept us. Yeah. It has overwhelmed us, especially our young people. We did not preempt it. We did not see it. But when this internet, this Facebook, all of these things got into our shore, we have seen a decline. I think it's just a matter of time. Most of our people, in just one like this, and they'll be out. They have lost their zest. They have lost their vision. They have lost their passion. They bring their cell phones into the churches. They forget their Bibles. They're concerned about these things, and they forget the world is dying, the world is getting to hell, and they're very busy preoccupied and enamored with the things that are fleeting and fading. The context would give us, the king decreed a sign, or he signed a decree, that anyone who would pray to his God will meet a capital punishment. He will be sent into the lion's den. But when Daniel heard about that decree, who cares? Back to his room, as usual, he would go to his chamber, he would open the window of his chamber toward Jerusalem, and he would kneel down 3 times and pray to the God of heaven. Our message is about toward Jerusalem. Why toward Jerusalem? Why did he choose that direction? You see, everybody, almost everybody that went down to Babylon, they were coerced, they were tempted to be, they were induced to be assimilated into the culture and think the way the Chaldeans would think, so that they would forget their identity, who they are really, who really they are, and what's their purpose. On most of them, just took them, they said they were despondent, they thought game is over. But there was one person and his friends, they were very upbeat. And I think one of the things that made Daniel stand the test of time was because he was always looking towards Jerusalem. Why? Why did it sustain him? It pumped his adrenaline and gave him the stamina, the strength to resist the things that would try to make them cave in and collapse just like a house of cards. There are 4 areas that I would like to share with you this evening that made Daniel, strong as he was, that in the midst of that unfriendly environment, he was able to withstand and get over the hump. One reason, let's go to the first point right away. When Daniel would open that window towards Jerusalem, he would do that because it was the land of his fathers. It was the land of his birth. It's a place called home. It was the place where he was born. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. We've got to always focus our attention to that moment and to that place where you were born again. You've got never take off your eyes to that place and maybe to that person who led you and who invited you to church. And in that particular moment, maybe this was your Jerusalem. This is the very Jerusalem somebody invited you. And when the preacher declared the gospel of Jesus Christ, you came down the aisle, you knelt, and you confessed your faith in Christ. And that very moment, you were saved, you were born again. You have life eternal forever and forever, my friend. Never take your eyes off that experience. Because, my friend, if there's one thing that we can really say that really matters in this life, it is that experience that you have known Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. The world will try to do its best. Satan will throw all these baits. He will try to ensnare us. He will try to captivate us with the things of this world so that our love and our passion would be shifted to this world. But my friend, when those things begin to blow your way, you begin to become weary and you become cold, please go back to the cross of Calvary. Remember the moment that God took you from the pits of hell and gave you life and hope for the future. That would always put you straight and sustain you down the road. Religion will not save us. No amount of human efforts would be able to justify us before God. It only took the Son of God, went to that old rugged cross, paid for our sins, and then we have put our faith in Him. It was a gift from God. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he may gain the whole world? Prestige, power, popularity, pleasures to his heart's content. But if you die and you go to hell, everything would be in vain. The greatest thing that we have tonight is our salvation in Jesus Christ. No amount, this world would not suffice. We cannot swap this salvation for anything that this world has to offer, because this is the greatest possession, treasure that we have right now. Salvation, not religion, would do it. It's only by faith in Christ alone. My friend, if you are not saved, if you are not sure tonight, if you are to die tonight, you are not sure of going to heaven. Remember, you simply have to admit that you're a sinner. You've got to admit that you cannot save yourself. You've got to admit that the only way for you to be saved is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3:16 says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Second, Daniel would open his window towards Jerusalem, not only because it was the land of his fathers, it was the land of his birth, but secondly, it was the land of his faith. Remember those three guys, Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They call this one preacher said, Meshach, you shock, and everybody's shocked. They were tried. Their conviction was put to test. The king said, if you hear the music played, everybody kneels down and worship the golden image. The music, the day came, the music was played, and there are three heads sticking out there. Yeah. Yeah. The king said, give me, yes. And they were summoned to the palace. Hey, you're my political lieutenants. Did you understand the decree? If not, I'll give you another chance. Tomorrow, if you hear the music being played, just kneel down and everything would be all right. Everything would be okay. But those three guys stood their ground and said, Your Excellency, with due respect, loud and clear, the decree was clear. We did not bow down. Let me tell you why, your king. Because when we were little children, we were brought to the Sunday school. We rode the bus in city. And the teachers taught us about the Bible. And there's one thing that rung in our mind. They said, thou shalt not bow down to other gods, only to the God of heaven, and his name was Jehovah. Your king, this God that we have is able to deliver us if he chooses so. But if not, just the same, we will not bow down to your golden image. In the Philippines, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, when those three guys went to the fiery furnace, somebody accompanied them.
That's right.
Let me tell you this. We are bombarded. I heard about the Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A thing. I heard about that LGBT, that LGBT, whatever that is. Talk about, we're being pushed to the corner. We're being pushed to the corner, to the wall. But friend, as you stand there, you might get into the fiery furnace. But don't forget this, Jesus will give you company.
Amen.
When those three guys went out of the fire, that guy was nowhere to be found. So that when you get into that same fiery furnace, because of your conviction, Jesus will give you company one more time.
Amen.
Back in the Philippines, ladies and gentlemen, cults abound, false religions, false teachers, everywhere, deceiving and being deceived, as the Bible tells us. They're trying to get into the people's homes and giving them the false gospel. Are you not blessed tonight, my brothers and my sisters, that you have a church in this place where you can bring your family, where you can bring your friends, and you can bring someone and be sure, and you are given this assurance that when they get into this place, they will hear the truth and nothing but the truth from the Word of God.
Amen.
People all over the world, half of the world have never heard about Jesus Christ. And some of them, they would go to churches and they're being forced to accept gospels that are not according to the Word of God. And for sure, they will go to hell when they die. I hope and pray, ladies and gentlemen, that you would reflect for a while and say, thank God, we have Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City.
Amen.
And when you always look at that, that would give you a strong encouragement to say, Lord, I'll be faithful no matter what, because we're the world over are being deceived. And yet, you see, ladies and gentlemen, it takes a divine, spiritual enlightenment and illumination for someone to understand the gospel. And in God's sovereign will and wisdom and grace, he has chosen to give you that light. And tonight, we're enjoying this singing. We're enjoying this worship because of this grace of God.
Amen.
And this church, my friend, you can look to Jerusalem because this is the land of your faith. We have the greatest treasure that we have today are the truths that we have learned from God's word during the Sunday school, during the preachings. That's the reason why I would always tell people, every time the pulpit is ready to pound, to be pounded, And by the way, Brother Scappy, I think you will recover faster if you stop pounding the pulpit. Just preach. Just have your little talk. Don't do this anymore, okay? Pastor Mickey, it is your solemn duty and responsibility to make sure that the doctrinal purity would always be conveyed. It will be passed, just like the baton, so that the next generation would still enjoy the very same doctrine that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. Today we are, our doctrinal purity is under siege. Back in the Philippines now, the ecumenical movement, preachers, gaining it's in the upswing. Our people, even the Sound Baptist churches, are joining this. They would finally create that one world religion there. They're joining together. Churches are trying to water down and adulterate their conviction. They're trying to use methodologies that would cater to the whims and capricious desires of the people. They would try to entertain the people so that they would create the crowd and maintain the people. My friend, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. Just preach the Word of God, and if God's hand will do it, He will do it in the lives of the people. We need to thank, we can need to look back, always look to Jerusalem, because that's the place where you have the, you see, the things that really matters in this world are not the things that our hands can hold, put in our pocket. Get all you can all you good, you know, they say. But folks, all of these are fleeting. They'll be fading. One day, they'll be turning to ashes. The greatest things that really matter, that would last even time itself, would be our salvation and the truth that God is giving us through His Word, from His Word. Amen. Always look to Jerusalem, because when you open that window towards Jerusalem, you would see the real treasure, the real things that matter in this life. And third, please, if you will, the third thing, whenever Daniel would open that window towards Jerusalem, another thing would happen. He would remember it was the land of his fortitude. It was the land of his hope. It was the land of his strength. It was the land of confirmation and affirmation that everything that God promised to them, He will fulfill to the very letter. He knew in his heart that after 70 years with God's omnipotent hand, He would take them out of that place and bring them back to their homeland, and they will never be uprooted anymore. He knew that. He nourished that in his heart. And you know what? One of the things that reminded him about that, about the veracity of that promise, is when he would open that window, he would see the direction of Jerusalem, and he would see the silhouettes of those massive mountains, numerous hills in Palestine. Please take a little look at Psalms 125. Psalms 121, please. Psalms 121 and verse number 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. 125 and verse number 1 and verse number 2, same book, Psalms 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forevermore. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in the Jewish mindset, those mountains surrounding Jerusalem, they are not simply object of God's creation. They are symbols of God's promise. They are a symbol of hope, strength, and help that will come from God. Every time Daniel would look at those mountains and see the images of those mountains, it perks up his spirit. It lifts up his spirit. When everybody was just collapsing, when everybody was just throwing in the towel, Daniel knew in his heart that one of these days, God will fulfill His promise. If you open your windows towards Jerusalem, find something that would remind you of God's goodness and faithfulness. Learn to find the little hills when you are down. When you are facing deep adversities in life, try to look for little things the hills of Palestine that would lift your spirit, encourage you, and give you a shot to move on for another day. Pastor in the ministry, I know. Brother Scotty, Pastor Mickey, I've been in the ministry for 42 years. I grew up in a Baptist church. My father, a Chinese immigrant that came to the Philippines with his family, came, met my wife, met my mom, and they have a relationship that, you know, and then I was born out of wedlock, but my mother took me to church. Even when I was inside, I have no choice but to go with my mom, to just join her, you know, in the church. But why did I say that now? Where am I now? Then the Lord saved me at the age of 17. An American missionary, by the way, an American missionary, and witnessed to my mom, and my mom got saved. That's the reason why Pastor Mickey, he separated from that relationship and just, you know, take good care of me. And he brought me to a Baptist church where that missionary started. And when at the age of 17, another American missionary was preaching about hell, that night, August 6, 1976, 9 in the evening, I came to the altar and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. What I'm saying is, I went to the Bible school. I went, prepared myself, and at the age of 17, started serving the Lord in that city where I'm up to this point in time. By the way, my mom is 88 years old. She's still serving the Lord in the church. Please keep us in prayer. Pray for her. What I'm saying is, Pastor Mickey, through the years as a minister, as a pastor, you would experience lots of heartaches, pains, troubles, trials. People sometimes would desert and maybe turn you into deserts, you know, and they would abandon you sometimes. We don't understand that. But try to look for those little hills of Palestine, because there are some members who would stick with you, come hell or high waters. There will be some people who would say, Dr. Carter, even if people would leave us and abandon us, but we will be standing by your side, and no matter what happens, preacher, let's just go on and serve the Lord. Preacher, they are your hills of Palestine, those kinds of people that would stick with you, that would stick with the church, would stick with God's word, and would serve the Lord regardless of the circumstances. And by the way, sometimes in our families, we have some problems with our children, as I do. Please do pray for my sons as well. We have some challenges. And sometimes we feel so discouraged. No, ma'am, no, sir. Just keep on praying. Try to spot the little hills of Palestine in your children. And there will always be one or two little spots that would create a spark and create a big fire down the road. Always pray. And I believe one of these days, in God's own sweet time, He would honor your faith and He would honor your desire. You have a problem with maybe your husband or wife. I remember this woman said, honey, if we go to heaven, are we still husband and wife? Absolutely not. That's why it's called heaven, my dear. If you have some problem, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't faint. Try to pray. There will always be little hills in your husband or in your wife's life that can ignite and can rekindle the sweet memories. And that might be a good start to build it again. Try to look for the little hills of Palestine. Remember Jesus Christ? Remember Jesus Christ when the disciples came to him and said, Lord, what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to get our logistics, our resources? And the Lord simply directed their attention to the fowls of the air and said, hey, look at the fowls of the air. Look at those birds. They're just singing. Have you ever seen a bird getting into the hospital for a blood checkup? No. Have you ever seen? No. They're always singing. They're always singing. They do not sow. They do not harvest. They do not, you know. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds them every day. Anytime you feel afraid, you begin to worry as you drive down the road. When you see a bird, remember, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. Have some object. Create an object. People, events. Associate that and connect that so that when those particular moments would come and rise, you would look at them and you would remember the very message of that object. Amen. And that would give you strength somehow.
Amen.
The greatest object that I would like to submit to you is the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
There's no greater than that old rugged cross. I will cling to that old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. At the cross of the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. That's right. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. I could have requested Miss Barbara to sing before I preached because she was the songbird of Tennessee Temple before. That's what I heard. I'm glad, Miss Barbara, you are a lucky man, Brother Scotty. You're a lucky man. This world, when you look around, it will not give you a rosy picture.
Right. Amen.
Get to the newspapers. The world is going down, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible has predicted that. We're living in the last days. You better get something that would break your spirit up, that would remind you of God's faithfulness and power. And last but not the least, Brother Scotty told me, the preacher there is a straight shooter about time. You better end up on time. So I'll end up on time. It was the land of his future. In Amos 9, verse 14 and verse number 15, it says this way, and I will bring them from captivity back to their homeland. And God said, the moment they get back to Jerusalem, to Israel, they will never be uprooted anymore. Well, I'm glad this nation is standing pat. This nation is standing by Israel no matter what. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless them that blesses you, bless you, and I will curse them that curse you.
Amen.
I'm glad this nation has the temerity and the nerve to declare that Israel and relocated your embassy to that place.
Amen.
There's something about this. Remember what the Bible tells us? If the sun would stop shining and the moon would stop giving its light, that's the only time Israel will be obliterated. But that's an impossibility because God's hand is with them.
Amen.
As I close, Daniel knew that one day he will be brought back to his homeland and be there to stay there forever. My brothers and my sisters, one day you and I will be welcoming the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
To come down. Today, struggles left and right.
Yep.
Pain, heartaches.
Right.
There's a replacement of the knee, I heard. Ma'am, whoever you are, in heaven, New Jerusalem, no more replacement of the knee. You'll be okay.
Amen.
Brother Scotty, you can start jumping rope again. Okay? It will all be heartaches and burdens here, but one day, when the trumpet would sound,
yeah.
I heard one preacher last Wednesday, Brother Gene Good, said, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound. I said, oh, something about that. When the trumpet would sound, my brothers and my sisters, we will all rest from our labors.
That's right.
And we will enjoy the eternal bliss of eternity. When the saints go marching in, and when the roll is called up yonder, I hope everybody will be there.
Amen.
To say, I'm here. As I close with Revelation chapter 5, the choir sang a very wonderful song. Everybody would kneel and declare, holy, holy.
Amen.
Revelation 5 says, there will come a time, and I always think about the health ministry along this line, that everybody would gather around the throne, and would sing with single voice and say, glory, glory, worthy the Lamb that was slain. Thou hast brought us back to God by thy blood. You have redeemed us from all tribes, tongues, tribes, peoples, and nations. The Koreans, the Vietnamese, the Cambodians, the Americans, all together in that one big assembly, we'll all sing together to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. When you see this church, this is your Jerusalem, remember the time that you got saved. When you see the Landmark Baptist College, may that remind you of the truth that we are being taught every Sunday and every day. Amen. And when you see Brother Scotty and Brother Mickey Carter, they are battle-scarred soldiers of Jesus Christ. Amen. When you are down and out, you feel like everything is just collapsing, just look at them and say, God's grace will always be upon us. Amen. And when you see Jerusalem, what I'm saying, when you see the nation of Israel and hear about this, remember, all of us one day will be enjoying the new Jerusalem. And all of us will be together in fellowshipping and honoring that God of heaven that made everything possible for us tonight. It's a joy and a privilege. And thank you once again for praying for us. When the Japanese came, the Spaniards came, you liberated us. You gave us freedom. But most of all, you gave us, you delivered to our shore the greatest freedom of all when you brought the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are eternally indebted to all of you, and thank you for staying there. God bless you. Thank you, brother.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Thank you, Brother Ton. What a good message. Let's not forget to look toward our Jerusalem. Amen. I believe tonight that was good for all of us. It is a discouraging world, and if we're going to keep serving God, we've got to know to do the things that encourage us. And to look out the window toward Jerusalem is what kept Daniel straight and strong and victorious. I challenge you tonight to say, Lord, show me what you want me to look at to get the courage and inspiration I need to keep going. I appreciate the message very much. I believe God spoke to our hearts with it. I ask Brother Bert to lead us in a verse of invitation, and as God spoke to you, you respond to it tonight. Amen.
All to Jesus.